won't need no luck, you won't need no sympathy. You won't need no heaven to help you up. Hello, welcome everyone to another brilliant, or hopefully another brilliant, episode of At In and Out Kabaddi with me, Dan Strange, and Sahel Chanduk, the insider following the league around India. Of course, we're in between legs 3 and 4 currently, with leg 3 just finishing up in Ahmedabad and Lucknow about to get underway for leg 4. Sahel, how's it going?
Yeah, really good, Dan. I think it's been an entertaining week in Ahmedabad. We've had, you know, so much intensity this season because it's just been back to back to back. But the games have been so tight that, you know, we haven't minded. The entertainment's been spectacular. And we've had our 5th tie in season 5. And that goes to show you just how close all the teams really are pegged.
Of course, Yupi Oda and Yumumber start things off for leg 4. But before we even think about leg 4, let's look back over the Ahmedabad leg, the venue, of course, for the 2016 World Cup. It saw this new idea of the interzonal challenge. And what a burst of a home leg it was for the Fortune Giants, Sahel. A fantastic week for them. What were your views on their first ever home leg?
Yeah, I mean, one tie and 5 wins, really. I mean, they've won 6 out of 9 games now. They've lost just the one and they've got 2 ties. And, you know, they're on 36 points from 9 games. They're sitting pretty at the top of Zone A. And they look pretty good. You know, I think there's a couple of chinks in the armor which were exposed a few times, but no one really took the game by the scruff of the neck and took it away from them, and therefore they had a strong leg. Their rating looks better now, which was a little bit of a concern for me, but their defense just looks so organized because you've got the two Iranians on the corners and the two young covers who are doing a good job to just provide the support. So they look like a really, really, really strong contender going forward.
Now, you'd been critical of the captain, Hegde, before this leg, but he's improved through the home leg. And did he look like he was enjoying life a bit more? Obviously Sachin's raiding was magnificent throughout the week, but Hegde's leadership seemed to be improving and he was picking up points for the team.
Yeah, from a leadership perspective, you know, I think things are easy when you're winning and the habit of winning kicks in. But I think there's still more that I want to see from him as a raider. He's coming good at times. I mean, he came good versus the Telugu Titans, but we all know how woeful they've been off late. So, I don't think you can read too much into that performance. But I just think as a raider, he's not quite there yet with the best of them around the league. And I think as a captain, he's been okay. He's been pretty decent, but he hasn't had too much to do in terms of changes and chopping at all, because the coach is doing it from the sidelines. So, look, he's a consistent man. He's quite a cool customer, which helps the side. But as a raider, still hasn't come into his own.
Now, they may have been on the good end of most of their results in the home leg, but the Fortune Giants didn't have it all their own way, especially, obviously, in that draw against Bengal. Ran Singh's defence, again, absolutely superb in that one. Also, trading 14-9 against the Bulls, and they turned it round. It shows real character from the Fortune Giants.
Yeah, they have shown character through their home leg, and it helps to have that home support, I think, especially when you're down and you're trying to come back in the second half. But versus the Bengal Warriors, they were undone by a bit of brilliance from actually the young Deepak Narwal. He's a young raider who was with the Patna Pirates, actually won them the season in season 3. And I'm so perplexed as to why the Bengal Warriors haven't used him more. But hopefully after that performance, they will go to him a lot more. But look, they've been good, the Gujarat Fortune Giants, and I you know, that game that you brought up versus the Bengaluru Bulls was a great testament to their comeback ability as well in this sport. So they will use this leg to bounce forward, and it, you know, now they're sitting pretty at the top with 36 points from 9 games. Remember, it's a 22 game long season, but when you can win 5 out of your home stretch, it's a big positive.
And finally, we start to sort of see within the league standings, you know, we're able to actually start to compare things. You know, you look at the Bulls, 21 points from 8 games, but then you look at the teams that have had a good home leg, or it should be the team that have had a good home leg. And suddenly, because of that one good home leg, Gujarat are just, you know, 15 points clear of the Bulls. It really sort of gives a chance to actually start to compare teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still a little early for many other sides. I mean, I think when you played your home stretch, it just suddenly sort of gives you a pegging in that table, because you suddenly played a chunk of games coming together. But for the teams that haven't played too many, it's still a long, long, long way to go from knowing where they're going to stand come crunch time. So, you know, it's funny. It's funny the new format is so well poised, but at the same time, you know, you don't quite know at any point till you've played your home leg where you really stand.
So the week at the arena in Ahmedabad, of course, it coincided not only, well, with the interzonal week, which I'll get your thoughts on in a second, and how the new challenge of that is improving things, but also, of course, 70 years since Indian independence. How were things celebrated out in India?
Yeah, it's always a nice time. I mean, 70 years of independence here in India, and you know, we've got you, Dan, off away from the country back to England. So clearly, we've done some good of being independent, but also celebrating India's own sport, which has been quite special, you know. And to have India's own sport being celebrated on Independence Day was quite a lovely gesture. To see just the way fans were accepting this sport across the nation, across the globe now, it is an entirely new sport to many parts of the globe, but they have lapped it up and it really is rising.
It has been levelled at me that I'm getting older with a few more flecks of grey hair, although I think it looks distinguished. But I don't remember being around 70 years ago when independence was called. But anyway, so the interzonal challenges, as you said, 5 draws so far overall, and we've had a number of them. What was it, 3 this week? The intensity of the league seems to be really ratcheting up. Do you think that's a fair comment?
It's amazing how tactical the game has become. You know, many teams are playing on their defensive prowess, and many teams are playing on the structure of their defense and playing on the do or die rates. And, you know, that's where we're seeing just the mindset of players, the experience of players come to the fore. And we're seeing such cliffhangers go to the final few minutes and then, you know, narrow wins for each side. And you never know how much those single points can count as well. Remember, if you lose a game by 7 points or less, you take 1 point away from the encounter. And that could count for plenty come the end of the season.
Now, we've seen this week, some really, really good tackling and some fairly average tackling as well. I'll come to that in a minute. But when the super tackle is on in a game of kabaddi, just briefly talk me through kind of what tactics and techniques the players are looking to utilise when the pressure's on the defence to sort of utilise the super tackle.
Well, initially, you've got to make sure you've got some of your key defenders on the mat. I think it helps when you've got, you know, 2 out of the 3 as key defenders. And quite often you see substitutions being made at that point, so they can take advantage of that opportunity. It's not an easy one for a Raider to score, because you quite often have one chain on one corner and you've got a sole man on the opposite corner. And the amount of space that a Raider has to travel is a fair distance. But obviously, you know, it's not difficult for the likes of Pardeep Narwal or someone who can travel the distance off that court in no time. But you've got to have a targeted attack. You have to take the main defender out of the equation by going to his side first and then going across to the opposite and getting a quick touch. But there's always at the back of your mind that little doubt of being pegged down and giving the extra point as well. And those 2 points often see the game sway in the opposition's half.
Of course, we've seen some fantastic tackling, but there have also been missed tackles. And a good example is Gujarat's Faisal Acharchali versus Bengal this week. When a team see defenders like Faisal missing tackles and mainly through sort of hot-headedness or rushing the tackle, how disheartening is that for a team's defence?
Yeah, it's tough sometimes, especially when it's coming from someone as good as Faisal Acharchali, you know. So, you know, you've got to understand that, you know, there's always room for a comeback in this sport. And I think the day, you know, teams start to remember that at times, the more experienced teams seem to do that quite easily. But the younger teams like the Tamil Talaivas seem to struggle with exactly that. So I think, you know, you've got to understand that one tackle doesn't quite change it. But the key is to make sure the revivals come hard and fast.
You mentioned the Tamil Talaivas, Sahel. We've mentioned also the number of ties this week, and of course, Haryana and the Tamils were one of those draws, 25 points apiece. It's been a mixed week for the Talaivas, I think it's fair to say. They're no way near embarrassing themselves in this league in their debut season, but the amount of times they just keep coming up short must be so utterly frustrating and then they go and gift Delhi the match. How was Mirage allowed through on that super raid, and what have the Tamils got to do to turn it around? Because if they had snuck wins in games which they've either drew or lost by one, they would currently be sat top of their zone.
Yeah, you know, I think it's so disappointing. I mean, as a Chennai boy myself, I think I was hammering at that commentary table at one point, just going, what is going on, guys? Because you've got to feel for the coach as well. He's someone who's so, so passionate, and he's really done everything he can to help these young boys. But, you know, when you have such silly lapses in the end, it is just something you cannot afford to do against any top raider. Fazal Atachali came in, you know, all they had to do was give him even 1 point and send him back. They could have had one defender even rush him and go at him and send him back with, you know, with that 1 point. They still would have been up by one and they could have run the clock down on the next raid. Instead, one of the defenders lunges their way at him. Two others join him and then, you know, they give away a super raid to Fazal. It's advantage to the Dabangs from Delhi. Then Ajay Thakur goes in, does the hard part. They're down by two, does the hard part, gets a touch point on the left corner, doesn't take a bonus with even 20 seconds remaining in the raid, and actually returns to his own half with another raid given to the opposition. So, you know, this is where I think Ajay Thakur as a captain needs to step up. He's a fine raider at times, but his captaincy for me leaves so much still to want from, you know, the public. The fans need more from that captaincy, and it really was a showing of how a good captain responds under pressure and how someone who is a top raider and, you know, isn't the most experienced captain just seems to crumble under a time constraint and you don't quite know what to do.
Do you think it's lack of support? I mean, Prapanjan's having a good tournament so far, but they don't seem to have much behind that. I mean, AJ Tackett, it's hard to criticise the guy. He scored 14 points. I totally agree. Obviously, the errors were there for all to see, but 14 points versus Dabang Delhi is, you know, is an incredibly strong performance. I mean, Pardeep himself would be happy with that. But do you think it's a lack of support from the young team, sort of, and still an element of nerves when they're coming down to the final moment?
Yeah, I mean, you can't blame him for that blunder in defence. I think the only thing I can pinpoint is that last raid where he still had the game in his hands. You know, he could have taken it away. He did the hard part, got the touch point. All he had to do was stay on court for 20 more seconds, get the bonus as well, which was the easy part for him, and, you know, amble his way over the midline after he killed the clock. For me, what disappointed me was the fact that he ran back over, and even if he did get 2 points from that raid, he ran back and gave the opposition and Miraj Sheikh another raid, which, you know, with two people left on your side, it would have been simple for Miraj to come in and take a point anyway. So it's just the thought process, I think, that for me leaves a little bit of a sour note, because he needs to understand that you have to think about the game a lot more. You can't just think about what you have to do in your raid. You have to calculate what's going on in the greater scheme of the game itself and the context of what is going on around you.
Now, it's been a quiet week for a number of teams, as sort of seems to be the case at the moment. As you know, if they're not at home, they tend to have just one or maybe two games. Patna drew. I mean, you know, wow, what's happened? Patna have lost form suddenly. 27-27. What went wrong for Patna?
Well, I think it's, I mean, not so much went wrong. I think, I mean, it was it's a result where I think they'll finally be okay with. I mean, they came back pretty strong. It was a tough one for them to even bounce back from. But I think initially you look at the Patna setup and you think, where are the big names anymore apart from Pardeep Narwal? And maybe when Pardeep doesn't have the best night, you know, it's tough for the rest of the side to respond because he's taken the bulk of the scoring so often. But he came back so strong in the second half. He's the one that brought them back into the contest. And they've still played 4-1-3 and tied one. They haven't lost a game yet, the Patna Pirates. They're the only unbeaten side in the entire league. So, you know, they're still looking good. I think that comeback will help them. It's a bit of a wake-up call, yes, to the entire system. But they still look like the pick of the bunch.
Yeah, the comment on form was tongue-in-cheek. The UP Yodas, though, obviously going into their home leg, a result like that against Patna will really be... They're an informed team anyway, UP, and Nitin Toma's obviously a fantastic player. But to not lose against Patna is a real sort of nice result to take into their home leg, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. They're looking a good side, the UP Yoda. I mean, they take on U Mumbai tonight, and they'll definitely fancy their chances because they've played five, they're on 18 points, they've won three games, they've got a tie to their names as well. So, you know, they're looking a really solid unit. They've got Nitin Tomar and Rishank Divadiga firing, they've got Jeeva Kumar in that cover position, who's rallying that defense with Rajesh Narwal. So they look like a very, very sorted setup. And for one of the new sides, that they're responding like they've been there right through the four seasons of the Pro Kabaddi League. So that's good to see.
But it seems to me, I was slightly skeptical about the changes to the league and how it would affect the league, and not really skeptical about the teams coming in because it's franchised. You know, and the way they do the auction and all that side of it, it kind of flattens things out like the American style of sport, which, you know, makes sense in this style of competition. But it's so refreshing to see, like you just said, UP Yoda's one of the new teams, Gujarat, one of the new teams. They're teams that are currently, we've got a long way to go, but they're really making names for themselves. It's such a refreshing thing for the league.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these new sides have come straight out of the blocks and been really good to watch. I mean, you think about it, and you've got, I mean, two out of the four in the top three of their groups. You've got the Haryana Steelers, who are in fourth. The Tamil Thalaivas, of course, languishing at the bottom of their group, but they're not far behind from the rest of their pack as well. And the Telugu Titans have played 9 games for 12 points. The Thalaivas have played 5 games for their 11, so they should go past the Telugu Titans anyway. So, you know, you look at the performance of these four new teams, and it's quite astounding. The Gujarat Fortune Giants are at the top of Zone A, and that's tough. That's the tougher of the two groups. So, you know, you look at this and go, well, we did not expect that, but it is, as you said, fantastic for the league.
Yet again, they've been in tears a bit this week. Another loss for the Titans, 29-19 this time. What more have we got to say about the Titans? Just shocking out of form.
Yeah, just woeful, really. I mean, it's not getting any better either. I mean, I think the defense is just throwing everything at Raiders and they're looking all over the shop. There's no support for Rahul Chaudhary, but Rahul as well isn't really playing a smart game of Kabaddi. He's taking things upon himself when he doesn't have to. And instead of staying on court for longer, he's taking these undue risks which aren't required and therefore finds himself on the bench far too often. He spent a lot of time on that bench over the last few games and that's really hurt them. So, you know, they're a side that's really low on confidence at the moment, but also just looking for something to pull them upwards, which isn't really coming.
And talking about low on confidence, I don't think these two teams are nowhere near as low on confidence as the Titans. But yes, we can say they haven't played as many games as a lot of the teams in Zone A. But Umumba and JPP sitting fifth and sixth in Zone A, when do they start to get concerned? Do they start to get concerned? You know, JPP obviously lost 27-20 this week, picked up sort of the losing bonus point. But will there be any concern in the ranks for two of the sort of sleeping giants of PKL5?
Yes, for sure. I think, for the side that is the inaugural champions, the Jaipur Pink Panthers, they haven't quite come into their own because they've got a massive injury concern with Selvamani out. Thankfully, their home leg isn't for a while and therefore that could help them massively. But, you know, it's still a huge uphill task because suddenly there's so much more riding on this man, Manji Chilla, to come through. And you know, it's difficult for Manji Chilla to be a raider as well when his defensive duties are at risk in that sense. So, you know, this is the big risk for the Jaipur Pink Panthers, that Manji Chilla will have to come out and raid. And that's going to be a big ask for the Jaipur Pink Panthers without Selvamani out there. And I think that's really, really hurt them. One injury and it really has changed that side completely.
And of course, Manji Chilla against the Fortune Giants, limited to just 3 points and an equal top scorer, and 3 points for your joint equal top scorers really isn't great reading for that team. So on to leg four, Interlaken now, a place that we both commentated on hockey before. I remember the giant python eating puppies behind the commentary area out in Lucknow. Just for those people who have never been to Lucknow and the Babu Banarasi Das Indoor Stadium, give us a little insight.
Yeah, I remember that python as well. I mean, those cute little puppies were playing around for a couple of days, and then I remember not seeing one of them at one point, thinking, "Oh crap, we've lost one." Thankfully, we hadn't, but that python was a monster out there. Hopefully, nothing under the mat here in Lucknow for the Kabaddi, but it's going to be another good leg. Plenty of good food on offer, that's for sure. But you know, I think for the UP Yodhas, they can't have asked for a better time to come into their home leg. They're riding on some good form. They're looking really pretty lethal as a unit, and that confidence will really help them coming into what should be a massive week ahead for them.
Do you think they'll end up in the Bengaluru Telugu camp of sort of disappointing home legs, or do you feel like I probably do, that they're more going to be a Gujarat? Their form's been so strong up till now that I can't really see them. You know, yeah, they might lose one or two on the home leg, but not have quite so bad a leg as the aforementioned Bulls and Titans.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to be as good as Gujarat. I don't think they're going to take, you know, 5 or 6 out of 6, but I think they will be better than the other two legs. And I think, you know, Bangalore wasn't too bad, but I think the Telugu Titans obviously were utter crap, for lack of a better word. You know, but I do think that these guys, the UP Yodha side, will be pretty good. I would say 3 or 4 out of 6 is what they will win, because, you know, they are looking very good coming into this home stretch. And they, when you're on that high and you've carried that form of solidity and consistency, it goes a long way in this sport, because, you know, it's sort of just, in a way, it's seven individuals playing a team game, but each of them individually has to contribute. And when each of them have contributed in different ways for the UP Yodha, they know they're in pretty good hands.
And of course, they currently sit third in Zone B, 3 points off the top, which is Bengaluru Bulls. And of course, the Patna Pirates sit just above them, also on 18 points, but currently in second place. Now, we always try and sort of give an overview of what's to come in the next few days, sort of up until our next podcast. And the one game I really couldn't get away from, which is coming up on Sunday, Patna versus Puneri Pultan. Now, that very easily could be the final in late October.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the best game of the tournament so far. And, you know, this is why I love this inter-zone challenge week. You know, you've got teams from across the two zones playing against each other, and suddenly you've got this massive, colossal clash, because I think you've got the best defensive unit and best all-round unit in the Puneri Pultan coming up against Pardeep Narwal and Munu Goyat, who are possibly the best raiding duo, you know, at the Patna side of things. So, you know, for me, that's going to be the clash of the Titans. It's going to be the mega clash of the season so far. And, you know, I mean, I just think the Puneri Pultan might have the upper hand there because of their defense, and maybe they'll have something planned for Pardeep Narwal. And, you know, that's going to be a huge one. But I think it could be one where also records are broken in terms of viewership.
And of course, we mentioned Yumamba and JPP earlier. An important week for them, sort of leaving the likes of the host, UP Yodha, to one side. They're both playing the host, but they both also got other interzone matches this week. And, you know, for JPP against the Bulls, they'd hope to pick up a win there. And of course, for Yumamba, well, they've got the Titans. So obviously, they'd hope for an easy win there.
I don't think anything's going to come easy right now for Yumamba, because they're still trying to find a settled seven. They don't know which way they want to head with that. They had Hadi Oshtarak on the right corner, then they didn't play him after he had one bad game. Then they had another youngster, Surinder Singh, on the right corner. Then they sort of were thinking about dropping him because he wasn't performing. So where do they go with their settled seven? You know, they need to find consistency in their starting lineup. And, you know, until they do, it could hurt them a little bit. Again, the advantage being that they don't have their home leg till after the Lucknow leg. So maybe they'll get that consistency after these two games come in. But yes, they will definitely be hoping for one win out of these two games. I think the UP encounter tonight is going to be a really tough one for them, but possibly a little easier versus the Temora, who are on a bit of a lull at this point.
And a game that you wouldn't necessarily have picked out as a you know, a really big clash within the leg would be, well, before the tournament started, sorry, would be the Fortune Giants and Puneri Pultan. But anything's possible for the Fortune Giants at the moment. And surely Puneri must be almost sat there coming off the back of the Patna game, thinking that's a really tough one to face up to after a bruising encounter against the Pirates.
Yeah, I think they're gonna find themselves in a tough spot with those two back-to-back games. I think, you know, for me, the Puneri Pultan taking on the Patna Pirates in that interzone challenge is going to be a great one. But yeah, I mean, when it goes back to that Zone A action in Lucknow, on I think what could be the second last day of Lucknow or the third, yeah, I think it's going to be right in the bang in the middle of it. It's going to be a really, really, really tough one, that, because, you know, it's two sides that are so different in some senses, yet so lethal. You've got the Gujarat Fortune Giants, who pretty much ride on that, and that's it. While the Puneri Pultan are a much more well-rounded side, but they also have the experience in their defensive unit. So do they come out firing with the Raiders saying, look, we're going to try and take the game early, and if we can build off a lead, then we can try and protect it? That's going to be the key from the Pune Palton in that encounter.
And after tonight's first match, we've got 104 matches still to go, which means we've got 105 matches still to go currently. Can't quite believe we're into the 30s of the matches already, although I'm sure, Sahel, for you, you're relieved that we're at least 30 matches in, because you must be absolutely shattered. Team of the week, this is probably a silly question to ask, but I'm going Gujarat Fortune Giants for obvious reasons, and I'm guessing you're going to do the same.
Yeah, I can't go anywhere else, really. I mean, they've been phenomenal. They've really been incredible to watch from all departments. It's good to see them come together as a unit. And also, even more so because they're a new side. You know, you want the new sides to do well. That was the whole hope when we came into the season, that they wouldn't be languishing behind the more firmly associated sides with this sport. And they have come out absolutely firing in their home leg.
And player of the week, I kind of picked out a play of the week, and it was Mahendra Rajput when he was under pressure. It was a do or die raid, and he picked up 5 points from the raid and the all out for the Fortune Giants. Would you agree that that was probably player of the week for this week?
Yeah, that's up there. I think that one and Miraj Sheikh's super raid at the death versus the Tamar Talaivas, I think those two for me are the plays of the week. I mean, we've had some spectacular tackles coming in from the two Iranians for the Gujarat Fortune Giants, but that in some ways was expected. You know, these two were incredible moves to sort of pull a rabbit out of the hat. So I think those two for me are the top two.
And any update on who's sort of really in the wars? Any people limping around in the background who aren't announcing on television or to the media that they're injured?
Well, I think it's the same bunch, really. I think Nitin Tomar and Rushang Divarika have picked up from their injuries and they're back and ready to go tonight versus U Mumba. So that's a good sign. Selvamani is still down and out. Joginder Narwal, that's going to be an interesting one for U Mumba, because on the left corner, without him, they look a little bit bleak because he adds so much experience in that lineup. So, that's going to be the big concern. But hopefully no more serious injuries coming since then. So let's see. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, it's in and out time now, and today we're going to do in and out of the chain tackle, one of the styles of defending. You ready for 30 seconds on that, Sahel?
Let's do it.
When you're ready.
All right, so the chain tackle is a really important one because it literally gives you the advantage of having two men combined together and attacking one tall raider. Usually you will see them attacking the taller raiders with this tackle to sweep them off their feet. What we also see nowadays is when a raider dives down with the dubki or the dive under the chain sweeps with the raider and goes low with him. And it's such a good tool to have, because when you're hand in hand locked in that chain, it really gives you the ability to use two bodies to come together and trap the raider in pretty much a web of defense. So I think that web is so crucial, and when you use it is just as crucial, because the timing has to be good. You have to come at the raider sometimes. If it's someone like Pradeep Narwal who's going to wait for you to come to him, you really have to attack him with a sweeping chain tackle. And we've seen that from the cover combination in the Gujarat Super Giants, the young covers of Parvez Benswal and Sunil Kumar. It is such a good skill to have. You'll see it used quite often on the corners when they see a running hand touch come about and one man comes around and then sweeps him down with the chain tackle. Watch out for this, because it's one of the more brutal skills you'll see in pro kabaddi.
And surely it's one of the skills we're going to see on show in Lucknow. Still the interzonal challenge going on, leg four underway this evening, and it should be brutal once more. We can't wait for the action. Of course, you can listen to us on Audio Boom, our new partners, on iTunes or at www.inandoutkabaddi.com. And of course, Sahel, give us the info on social media.
Yeah, you can tag us at In and Out Kabaddi or at Dan Strange TV or at Suhail Chandok, and we'll be more than happy to share all your views. And obviously, a big thank you again to our partners, Audio Boom. There's plenty more to come from us, and we'll have some key interviews as well coming up in our next few podcasts.
We will, and we'll be back with loads more very, very soon. Bye for now.